Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode 105. I am Eric and I'm joined tonight by Fred and Andrea. Andrea, how are you doing?
I am doing as best as I could post-surgery.
Asbestos?
What kind of surgery?
Okay.
Yes. See, I'm just slurring everything in pain.
Wow. Yeah, I threw in the worst pun I could possibly come up with just to increase your... So you're post-surgery.
Yes.
Right now. So are you on pain medication?
No, they actually didn't give me anything. The doctor said, you have a high pain tolerance.
Wow. So okay, so ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you as a half Canadian. Let me explain to you about Canadian healthcare. Okay? It sucks.
No,
I'm kidding.
No,
but it doesn't suck until you hit 65 and they say, oh, you're too old to invest in anymore.
You get a free grave and that's about it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's okay. Because Fred, I know you're doing great, right? Feeling good to go.
Well, I'm doing better than yesterday.
Better than yesterday.
But I'm getting over a pretty bad cold. So if I sound a little funny, you can blame it on that. But I'm really looking forward to tonight's episode, talking with you guys. It's always the highlight of my week.
Everybody's dying.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not ill, but I guess, I mean, I am dying. We're all dying just at different rates.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we should title the episode. We are all dying.
Just at different rates.
Yes. Well, you know what? We are dying to talk about resistance tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That's a segue and a half.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on that segue all night. Wow. No, I kind of feel like dying after watching Resistance. I can't get into Resistance. Guys, I'm trying.
So
I'm really trying.
We're talking about this before we hit the record button. Andrea and I got together last weekend and we had some drinks with Tim and Robin. And Sunday was recovery day. So we spent the entire day watching episode 1 to episode 17 of Resistance. And my gosh, some of them are really good. Like, they get you in that mood. Yes, this is Star Wars. And the tiny little nuggets, though, are what we hold out for. But they're so few and far between.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had the same complaint about Clone Wars, and I had the same complaint about Rebels. And after Clone Wars with Rebels, I was like, we got to hang on. We got to keep watching. And it paid off. This doesn't, like, I don't have the same confidence anymore that this is going to pay off. I don't know why.
To be honest, now that I, not to toot my own horn, have watched Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yay for catching
you,
up.
Thank you.
Yay for catching up. It's what, 2019 now? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No. But I honestly was able to get into Rebels so quickly, and I loved every little bit of it. Like, no episode was boring. Every single one, like, stakes were high. I was like, oh my God, one of the main characters is going to die. Like, I felt like that. And with this, like, it's just like, like I said before, I'm watching it because it's quote unquote Star Wars,
right?
Not because the story is intriguing.
No, let's be honest. We're watching it because we're going to do a podcast about it.
That too.
Honestly, yeah, I hate to say it, but when I watch the episodes, it's to catch up so we can discuss it on the podcast. I think that for me, with Clone Wars, you had characters you were already familiar with. You had a situation going on that you knew a reasonable amount about. Like, you understood everything you felt like you needed to understand about the Clone Wars. Right? I mean, yeah, there might be particular planets and particular politics, but, like, you understood the context really well.
Yeah, there's Anakin, there's Obi-Wan, there's Yoda, there's the Force, there's lightsabers, there's the clone troopers. You understand that's in between episode 2 and 3. So you really get a feeling of where the story fits in and how all the pieces fit together and where it's going to end up because it's leading into the next movie.
Right.
So you have all that. So the Clone Wars, I thought, were a great extra piece, and you can dive so much deeper into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the episodes didn't really hit home, but a lot of them I thought were pretty good.
And that's fair. Like, they don't all have to hit home. That's not something that we feel like we need to be critical about. If they're, you know, you said, Andrea, there were no episodes of Rebels that you found boring. Oh, well, there were some that I did, but like, that doesn't bother me. That's fine. My favorite TV shows in the world. I mean, looking back, Babylon 5, one of my favorite series of all time, had some really bad episodes in season one, like just cringeworthy. Every show is going to. That's fine. But so moving forward with this Rebels, you understood the context and you had characters you didn't know, but you learned to care about them, and they were a group, they were a family. Okay. With Resistance, one of the dynamics that's very different, and I think this might be what's making it so that I've got a hard time getting into it. You've got one main character. He's undercover, so he's kind of lying to everyone else. You've got Jaeger, who is kind of a mentor, but a reluctant one, so it's hard to really root for him in regards to Kaz. So you've got Kaz, and then, like, that's it. Everyone else there is... like, Kaz is on the outside. Kaz is trying to fit in. It doesn't feel like a family to me. It does, like, it almost feels like they're maybe trying to make it feel that way, but there's still too much kind of stonewalling between the characters, and there's a little bit too much conflict where they're just not really a fit for each other, and not in that dysfunctional way, but just like in that not fitting in way. And so I have a hard time relating to anybody except Kaz. And I guess I need it to be a little bit more an ensemble show.
I think that what worked with Rebels, the fact that everybody was so different. You had Ezra, who is that immature Kaz character, and you have the mentor, which is Jaeger, for Resistance. Like, but the thing that helped the dynamic between Ezra and what's his name?
Kanan.
Yes, Kanan was Hera. Hera was kind of like the calmness between those two characters, whereas in Resistance, you don't have that. You just have a tension between characters that's not smoothened over by anything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You just have to deal with it.
There's like a social, like, tension there all the time.
Yeah, so you have the other characters. I know Ezra gets into the arguments with the droid, and oh my god, I'm going to blame the pain. That monkey looking guy. He's my favorite. Yes. So you have the tension between Ezra and him.
Is that a racial slur? Can we get on her about that? No.
No. Okay.
All right. Monkey guy. I'm not sure that they appreciate. Okay. No, go on. It's okay.
Anyways. So you have the tension between Ezra and him, but again, it's smoothened over. Like, at the end of the episodes, you see them kind of come together, whereas in Resistance, you get Kaz with other characters, and there's not that sense of closure, that sense of learning by the end of the episodes. And that's, I think, the most frustrating thing, that everybody's so disconnected with each other. Nobody feels like they belong with one another. So I think that's where it's really hard for me to really like the characters and enjoy them. It's not until the later episodes where we start seeing like a little bit of a softer side to a couple of the characters, and that's nice. But aside from that, like, it's so hard to get into the purpose of it, and just the purpose of why Kaz is where he is.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you caught me taking a drink of coffee there.
How's that coffee, Eric?
It's actually pretty bad. Normally I don't like coffee, so I put flavored creamer in. See, you didn't actually want an answer. You were just, but now you're getting one. So there, I normally put flavored creamer in my coffee because I don't like how bitter it tastes. And I ran out of creamer, so now I've just got milk, and now it just kind of tastes flat. So the coffee's not that great, but thank you for asking.
No problem.
Resistance of coffee.
I know our listeners. The coffee's better than this show. Thanks. I'll be here all week. Yeah. No, I agree.
Now, do you think there's anything, because the show is so focused on this one station, it's not even a space station, it's just a gas station that's floating on water or...
Right.
Now, do you think if it would work better if it was a space station and there was more spaceships coming and going? Do you think that would play a factor? Or do you think it has more to do with the show?
That's a good question.
Nothing to do with the Force. So there's no...
I think for most people... Yeah, I think for most people it's that. I think that it's... Between Babylon 5, Star Trek Deep Space Nine... and some other similar shows, I think you can do a show centered around one location if it's a hub of some sort and have it be compelling, have it be more epic than what's going on just at that location. And I think that over time, we're going to see more of that from Resistance. That's my prediction. I think that having it in space might, so in an atmosphere and having the water there and stuff, you have a little bit more of a tangible feeling of a location. If it's out in space, then you really feel like you're just adrift in nowhere. You don't really have a visual context. I keep referring to context, and I think it's important, but like in space, if you're just going to be adrift there, you have to do a little bit more to establish, okay, well, you're at least near a planet, right? Like, what system are you in? What is, like, why would people go there? And then you probably have to have even more focus on the traffic coming in and out than we do already on Resistance. And you could argue, well, why would that have to be if there's no difference in the story? But I think it's just something about how people process looking at the location. Like, if you're on the planet, you have a home. You're not just adrift in space. So you don't feel quite as compelled to have to explain some of that. If you were just out in space, I think there's more of a compulsion to focus more on the comings and goings of things. But then on the flip side of that, I kind of have to wonder if maybe that would be a good thing if we had a little bit more of this. I mean, nobody really knows what the station is, right? But it's a trading post.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, that's another thing that while we were watching the episodes, I was like, have they even explained, like, the reason why this Colossus is, like, the most important thing right now for everyone? They do explain it closer to the end, but, it's just, like, I don't really think that is enough justification for us to have a show in just this Colossus. It just...
Right.
The most exciting episodes were the ones where they were in space.
Yeah.
Now, if the Colossus was built on a planet, excuse me, if the Colossus was built on a planet where the planet they're on is where they're harvesting fuel, like, that would be important. You would want to own that, or you want to be in control of that fuel source. Like, that seems important to me, but right now it's just a gas station, it seems like. Mm-hmm. That is a trading post that people come and go at will, and it's not really an empire side, it's not a republic side, it's just right. it exists.
Yeah,
so with that alone, we don't really have a why it's even there. And then why is Kaz there? Why is this so important? Maybe they'll tell us more as the
episodes that's the other thing. Like, we don't really get much about his mission. It's all about him trying to fit in. So there's not been a lot of character development. There's not been a lot of plot development. There's just not really been a lot of development. And we're mm-hmm. getting little bits and pieces scattered throughout. But I kind of feel like what we've seen so far, what we're going to cover in this episode here is going to be episodes 5 through 8, maybe a little bit of 9. It kind of feels like they could have compressed it into half a season.
There were some episodes that I questioned their purpose as to, like, oh, this could have been not used and we would have been okay. Doesn't really change anything. There were some executions that I wish they could have been done better. But again, it just feels like with every single episode, there is momentum. And then as soon as they built a little bit of momentum, they just shut it down for some reason. And we're going to get into some episodes that left me feeling like they could have had so much good stuff in it, but they just let it go so quickly. I will say, though, Neeku, still my favorite. Even till the end.
I do like Neeku. There are things about the show that I like. I like Neeku. I like the ship designs. I like the concept of the races and stuff. I don't really get into that sort of thing. Like, the pod racing never really caught on with me. This racing, like, it's okay. But I like it. And I like the ship design. I like the visual style of the show. The one thing I thought I was going to hate the most is actually something I'm really kind of connecting with. But, well, let's talk about the episodes. Why don't we talk about, and you guys, I think, have probably seen them more recently than I have. I'm not sure. Episode 5, let's start with that one, The Hightower. I'm going to dump this on one of your laps. Fred, I'm going to dump this on your lap because Andrea has been talking a lot. And she doesn't have any pain medication, which means, A, it's not as much fun for the listeners without the pain medication. And then, B, I don't want her to get grumpy at some point because we know how violent she can get.
Honestly, I was so tempted to grab a beer, but after my outing with Tim, Fred, and Robin, I'm like, we can just lay off the alcohol for a week.
I've heard some stories.
What?
Yeah. Oh, they're floating around all over the internet.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Probably would if I was a little bit more popular. You don't want to know the stories, Eric.
I don't know. I kind of do now, but...
Nope. Okay, so The Hightower.
The Hightower, Fred.
Episode 5, The Hightower. Captain Doze's fuel rationing forces Kaz and the rest of Jaeger's team down to Aunt Z's cafe, where Kaz meets Hype Faison. Hype reveals that the First Order is bringing fuel to the Colossus, and Kaz runs outside to watch the First Order's ship as it comes in. Hype then invites Tam, Kaz, and BB-8 to visit the Hightower, and Kaz excitedly agrees, hoping to find out what the First Order is doing on the platform. Using a comm link, he is able to listen in on Major Von Reg's meeting with Doze and discovers the First Order is offering protection from the pirates in exchange for control of the station. However, as he leaves Von Reg, he discovers Kaz's actions. After a daring chase and encounter with Doze's daughter, Tora, Kaz eventually ends up back at Jaeger's shop, but not before Doze begins to suspect him as the spy.
All right, what did you guys think of the episode?
So I thought that it was really interesting because it lays Doze as a, like, sort of like a shady kind of person. Like, I don't know if I trust him or not.
Right.
But you kind of see him doing the wrong things for the right reasons. Like, he wants to use the First Order to protect the Colossus from the pirates, and that's completely understandable, but I don't, like, in the episode, it doesn't feel like he realizes, like, how dangerous that is. And you still see a lot of people not understanding why the First Order is so bad. So it's really interesting to see them also blackmailing him and how that plays out in the future episodes. I enjoyed seeing a little bit more of Doze in that regard.
You know, it's interesting because Star Wars recently has started getting into, and by recently, I mean over the past several years, but has started taking a little bit more look at the Empire side of things. And especially in fandom, we remember Justin Bulger from the Force cast and then moved on to Lucasfilm. He always has been very pro-Empire. And I think, and I got to talk to Justin someday about this, because I wonder if this isn't part of it, because Justin is an extremely insightful person. I have to wonder, we're starting to get a little bit more of a look at the people who are reluctantly sympathetic to the Empire, or the people who rely on the Empire just merely as a form of government. And now a little bit in some areas with the First Order. as I know here in the United States, there's a lot of political turmoil and there's a lot of, you know, we expect certain things from our government. We feel like we're not getting them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking to any particular political side because both political sides have gone through this in recent years. And there's a lack of trust in the government, but we're starting to see in Star Wars a little bit more exploration of people who don't want to have to rely on whoever the local government is, but they have to in order to survive or be protected from pirates or whatever. And so they have to kind of handle the politics that they don't want to get wrapped up in as a survival method and as a way to protect their people. So I do find it a little bit interesting that they're exploring those sorts of storylines here. And I'm wondering if this is something that they're going to take even further. Now, you guys are both in Canada, so you don't know what I'm talking about because you guys are all always very polite to each other, eh?
Yeah, we're just hippies. Sure.
Yeah, right? It's all about being very polite.
We always got room in our canoe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't you know, eh? So I don't know. I think in this episode, we get to see at least an interesting theme presented, and we do get to see a little bit more of the First Order involvement. So that's good. Like now we're starting to open up. This was, I think, the first episode where I felt like, oh, finally, like we're seeing something that's bringing this into what we know is going on in the rest of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if we take a step back and we take a look, we see that the First Order has partnered with the pirates and to get the pirates to attack the Colossus so they can willingly get Doza to agree to get protection from the First Order to prevent the pirates that the First Order has hired instead of just attacking and asserting dominance. So it's kind of they're twisting it.
Yes.
So they want Doza to accept rule, not to have it imposed on them.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the internal struggle that Doza's dealing with is because he sees his people being hurt. They're being constantly attacked by pirates. They're being raided constantly, and he needs to protect the Colossus. So he's wrestling with the fact of, can we do this ourselves? Is it worth the fight, or do we bring the First Order in and give away some of our rights for protection?
Yeah.
It's like desperate times call for desperate measures kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's in the wrong if you take it from his point of view. If he knew the big picture, obviously,
right?
It would be a totally different approach.
No, we do seem to get the idea that he's trying to do the best he knows how to do. He has the best intentions. So, and he's making tough decisions. I mean, he's not backing away from what he feels needs to be done. Now, whether he's making the correct decision or not, we don't know, but we can at least understand that he's trying. So I don't know. Did you guys like this episode? How did it fit in with the others so far?
I thought it was a pretty good episode. I really liked the one scene where Kaz was listening in, and then he gets caught by the stormtroopers, right? Mm-hmm. Von Reg chases him down, and he sneaks into apartment, bedroom, whatever you want to call it. And then she sneaks him out the window, and then the stormtroopers are chasing him on the outside, and everybody's watching from Aunt Z's cafe as he's jumping from ledge to ledge. I'm like, oh, that's a perfect opportunity for a video game right there. Man, I wish we could get one, but
yeah.
Anything more than the two games that have been released?
I have to say, like, this would make, I would love to see Resistance as a game. Like either as a Telltale game sort of thing, because it almost has the same visual style anyway, or like as an actual, like an RPG sort of game. I could see that working.
I can too. Yeah.
My first thought went to Disney Infinity, if it still existed.
Yeah, that could work too.
Well, it's the same, almost the same kind of art style.
It is.
Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun. my gosh, why did they cancel?
And now I'm really tempted to jump ahead to a nugget from episode 10. I don't know if I should share it now or later.
Here's my look on this, Fred. The people who are watching the show are probably already caught up. And the people who aren't watching the show, if it's an interesting enough spoiler, it would probably give them reason to then sit down and watch the show. Like, I can't think of any downside of minor spoilers at this point.
I'm pretty sure people have already watched it.
Yeah. I'm probably one of the only people who hasn't caught up that far yet. But again, the people who have actually, I know a lot of people who have dropped out. But if you say something about episode 10 and it's something interesting, that would bring them back. I don't think they're going to care. So please go on and what were you going to say about episode 10?
So we take a look in Doza's closet in episode 10, mm-hmm. and you see his old retired Imperial uniform.
Oh.
So Doza used to be Imperial, and he knows where the First Order is going, at least in a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he might not have firsthand knowledge, he knows that it is the remnants of the Empire.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's that internal struggle is even higher for him than we even realize at this point.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Okay. So that's a little bit of an interesting spin on things. That makes me intrigued to see where they take that.
And it kind of gives a little bit more insight into Doze himself. It kind of, that's why he's so firm, and that's why he almost seems very cold, except for when he's dealing with his daughter. It's his Imperial upbringing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And even with her, he's very restrictive in terms of what he allows her to do. Yeah. So.
See, this is the sort of thing I feel like they should have brought in a little bit earlier. Like, that makes me feel more.
Agree.
Yeah, it makes me feel more invested in the character. And it's important, like when you drop a little tidbit of something, like I think the pirates first appeared in episode 2 or something. And we were talking about, you know, what did they matter? Well, we're going to see the pirates later on, I'm sure. This is one of those, you don't care now, but you'll care later on. But I think they spent too much time in this season introducing things that we're not supposed to care about yet. We're supposed to care about later on, but they haven't given us anything to care about yet. Like, we still need something in the now to keep us hooked until we get to that point.
Yes, the way that they went towards the ending was not the smartest way, because the final episodes were a little bit more interesting than what we got at the beginning.
Yeah, we needed something to hook us early on and keep us around until we get to those developments. And to be fair, some developments do need to stew over time. They need to be developed. That's why they're called developments. They need to grow and mature into an interesting thing. But when you pick up a book, a novel, a lot of times, some of the best authors, in my opinion, they have something in that first chapter or two that really like pulls you in. Like, you start the book and all of a sudden, you know, there's a character and they're in the middle of a hostage negotiation or something like that. And you're, oh, wow. Hey. It's already hit the fan. I'm walking in the middle of this. Let's see how this turns out. And that compels you to become invested in those particular characters in the moment. And then when that scene is finished, you're already hooked. I feel like Resistance didn't really give us any hook at the beginning to keep us here. And I think that's why a lot of people didn't stay here.
Well, they just threw the line and they were like halfway through. It's like, oh, crap, we didn't put the hook.
We'll add the bait on the line later. We're just going to let the fish know that there is a line.
Yeah. I personally felt like I was hooked, line, and sinker baited with episode 1. We had the space battle there, the X-Wing, the red TIE Interceptor, the whole introduction of Poe and... that I was really into that space battle and that whole piece of it. And then, okay, we're going to turn you into a spy. We're going to put you on the station. Episode 2. Okay, what? They couldn't hold it. They lost me right there.
Well, and plus, the racing thing, I feel like Kaz hasn't been really racing very much. A lot of it's him watching races from the sidelines. And it's like, okay, even that aspect of things hasn't really panned out yet.
Well, okay, they introduced this broken fireball spaceship or racer.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time they bring this thing out, something else goes wrong with it. And spoiler alert, we're 17 episodes in and it's still breaking down.
Yeah.
The other thing that I found really frustrating, and I still find a little bit frustrating, and I actually asked Fred if the voice of Kaz was the problem. Like, and I don't want to bash the voice actor because he does have a whiny character, but
yeah.
Like, is it the lines? Is it the voice actor that just does not fit well with Kaz? The other thing is that he's so willing in episode one to just do anything for the resistance and to help and just, throw me there. I will do what you want. Okay, we give you a mission and you're complaining and whining about it and you don't want to do it the right way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's so difficult to...
Who gets thrown in one episode going from a pilot to being an undercover spy?
Poe?
Poe
said he saw something in him. I honestly, after The Last Jedi, I wouldn't trust.
It's called being a sucker.
Too much.
Oh, I see something in you. You're a good little acquiescent sucker that I can convince. I can flatter you into taking a crap job. I see something in you.
Eric, I see something in you.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
You're really good at mopping this floor.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
so continue doing it.
Exactly. No, yeah, I mean,
you're really cleaning up in here.
I mean, I guess like he's a pilot, so he wants to fly. He doesn't want to be grounded. So I understand that. But I don't know. This show is so hard for me because I love Star. I've talked a little bit about, I'm getting a little bit of fatigue, but I also know there's a lot of stuff on the horizon that looks awesome. We've got The Mandalorian. We've got possibly a third show now coming to Disney Plus. There's been some rumors this week. We should maybe save that for next episode, but there's the Cassian Andor show as well being the second show. And then there are some strong rumors about a third show. And we've got episode 9 coming out, which I have confidence in. And we've got, you know, there's stuff coming down the pipe that I'm excited about. So I'm sure the fatigue is temporary, but Resistance specifically, I'm just having such a hard time with it. I want to like it. I'm not giving up on it.
But you're so resistant.
I'm resisting the resistance of the resistance. I don't know how to word that, but like you said, like I'm watching it because we're doing a podcast on it. And I'm confident at some point I will watch it because I enjoy it, but I don't enjoy it right now. I'm just ambivalent toward it. And I hate that. I don't want it to be that way, but I'm going to be honest. That's what we do here on our podcast at this network is we're honest. So I'm not hating on it. It's a good show.
I'm personally optimistic. I'm really holding out hope that it's going to turn around later in the season, maybe season two. I'm really banking on the fact they don't cancel it.
I don't think they'll cancel it.
I will say
the same about Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Oh dear!
But they didn't cancel Rebels. They didn't cancel Clone. You know, different network, different creators. I think there's enough faith in Filoni and his crew. That they expect it to be a little rough at first. And I think they will automatically just by default, give it a second season. And that will really be like, I think with Filoni, they probably give him a free pass on season one. And then season two is the, okay, you said you're going to make it work.
Make it or break it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I see that.
I personally think that the show is watchable if you do not, think too much about it. If it's just going to be like, hey, I'm going to sit with my kids and just watch it and just enjoy being with my kid and oh my gosh, look how fast they're going and oh my gosh, they escaped. This is where Resistance is really good because you don't have to really handhold too much. It's a new experience and stuff like that. That's why I think it's really good for kids. But for people that like the deeper Easter eggs and a lot of meaning, that's where it falls short. And I think that that's why it's not hitting some of the older audiences.
Right.
But I can see kids enjoying the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It. I mean, it's not a bad show. The storylines are perfectly okay. Like, there's not an episode I can look at and say, wow, that episode really sucked. Like, it doesn't, on a scale, like, it's not a bad show. It's just, it's also not a great show. It's kind of solidly right there in the middle. It's very mediocre.
Like, yeah, I found myself, like, I found myself like laughing at some points or like rolling my eyes and just snickering, but like, it was never like, oh, I hate this. This is so dumb. So that's good.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Any other thoughts on episode 5?
Not for me. No, I think we can move on to the next one.
I can do the next one. Okay. So episode 6 was the children from Tahar. Kaz damages Tam's acceleration compensator, holy moly, and promises to replace it, although he is short on credits. At Aunt Z's, Kat hears about a 20,000 credit bounty on 2 runaway children, which would solve his money issue. Kaz runs into the children, Kel and Ayla, at the market, but they escape. Niku introduces Kaz to the platform engineers, the Shellfolk, Shelly Day, I love those, who promised to look out for Kel and Ayla. Oh my god, I probably said her name wrong twice, but whatever. Kaz is summoned by Doza, who questions him about the children. Once Kaz leaves, Doza contacts Captain Phasma of the First Order, who sends troops to retrieve the fugitives. Out of sight of the troops, 2 Shelly Day take the children's place and jump into the water. By slowing their life signs, the 2 turtle thingies fake the troopers into believing that the children have drowned. Kaz passes on intelligence to the resistance about Kylo Ren and the First Order wiping out Kel and Ayla's village on Tahar in the unknown regions. I enjoyed this episode because as soon as Ayla said Kylo Ren, it sparked my interest. I was like, oh boy, this is Star Wars.
Right.
He just destroyed. Yeah, like I was very excited. I was like, oh my gosh. So how does this all tie into the universe that we know and love? I thought it was a very interesting episode to have the turtle creatures just being the ones that make everything run in the Colossus, and just how they're able to slow down their metabolism, and that's how the kids are able to escape the First Order. It was a really unique episode, and it does show a little bit more of Niku's understanding of how the Colossus works, and that he's not just a character that is silly. He's very resourceful, and I like that.
Yeah, I think it gives you a better appreciation for him as a character in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I already kind of liked him.
Me too.
So some people don't. Some people, like, he grates on their nerves, and that's fine. Oh, no. I get it. But to me, this is one of those episodes where it was a good episode for kids, mm-hmm. which I support this. Like, it was one of those episodes where you see Kaz having a moral dilemma or an ethical dilemma. You can argue which one of the two or both it constitutes. But he's faced with a really tough decision, and he has to make a personal sacrifice in order to do the right thing. And I think that's good. Like, I support any sort of kids programming that teaches people about doing the right thing because it's the right thing. And because doing the right thing has consequences for others, that you can change their lives as opposed to just taking care of yourself. I think there's too much of this, every man or woman for him or his or herself mentality in our society today. So, like, this sort of storytelling, I appreciate as an adult, 45 years old, Star Wars fan. I'm like, okay. Like, I've heard this before, but in the context of being a kid show, I appreciate this episode. It doesn't do anything for me on a personal level, but I appreciate it, what it probably does for the kids who are watching.
And it's really interesting because at first I was like, okay, this is going to be the last time we see those kids. They're just going to be turtle food and whatever. Like, they're just going to be working under the Colossus. But we actually do see the kids again, and they do have a little bit more of a purpose, which is what I like. But again, does it take too long for them to get to these? This character is important because A, B, and C. But I really do like the fact that you mentioned that there is that dilemma between doing something that would be considered selfish and doing something that would help others at the expense of what you would want it to do originally.
Yeah.
So these two kids, they're in a village. Kylo Ren comes with the First Order and wipes out the entire village except for these two kids. They get away. They come to the Colossus. The First Order puts out a bounty on them, basically, which is broadcast across the different feeds. They just happen to be on the Colossus. Okay, so that's really handy. And then Kaz finds them and then sets up their little escape, basically using the Ninja Turtles to slow their heart rate. And then he reports this finding to the Republic or the Resistance so they can, have some dirt on the First Order. Why wouldn't he report it to Doza, the commander of the Colossus? If he did, that would sway his decision on hiring the First Order that are coming. Like, hey, Doza, these people are bad. They just wiped out a village. Like, we don't want them protecting our station.
Would that give away the fact that he's a spy and that's the overall mission?
Okay, sorry. Maybe he doesn't have to say it firsthand, but he can leave a note on his desk.
Love.
Do you think that he trusts Doza enough, though? Like, do you think?
I don't think so.
I'm curious as to what, and I need to go back and rewatch the previous episode, I think, but I'm like, in hindsight, I'm curious as to what, at this point, what Kaz's opinion of Doza is. Like, we as the viewers get to see a lot more. We are more omniscient than some of the characters. Does Kaz know that Doza really has the best intentions involved, or does Kaz suspect that Doza's too entrenched with the First Order? I don't know.
I think Kaz would assume at this point that Doza's talking to the First Order, and that's got to be not good. Like, he doesn't really understand what's happening. He just knows they're in cahoots to some point. But from the previous episode, he overheard that they want to hire the First Order for protection.
So then it would not make sense for him to go to Doza with the information that he knew that the kids were there and that Kylo destroyed their village.
No, the kids are here. Just, hey, the kids were here.
That would be so suspicious, though, because then if he was on the bad side, he would be like, hey, reprimand Kaz. He saw the kids, and then they would just like torture him until he mentioned where the kids went. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much at stake if he does decide to trust him and things go wrong.
It's just two more kids.
Yeah, basically. Sure.
Okay.
Oh, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. Like, if he were to let the security forces of the actual station know, so Doza's in charge of ultimately the security of the station, if he let the proper authorities know that the First Order wiped out these kids' village, that might sway some decisions. But
yeah,
obviously there's more to it than that, but
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think that one of the things that you did bring up that was understandable as to why it was brought up is, why did the kids end up in the Colossus out of all places? But again, it's Star Wars. You can't really question that too much.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can tear apart the stories.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that being said, we can also maybe argue that, oh, there's bounties being put out every single day for all these different people, and they only focused on the one that was on the Colossus.
Right.
Yeah. All right, the next one. Signals from Sector 6. Excuse me. With the approval of Jaeger, Kaz takes on or takes leave on a starfighter training exercise with Poe. During the training exercise, the two receive a distress signal from a damaged ship, which has been attacked by pirates. I should probably be closer to the screen when I'm trying to read from text, but that's okay. While searching the ship for survivors, Kaz and Poe, along with their droids BB-8 and CB-23, every time I think CB, I keep thinking like Smokey and the Bandit, like a CB radio. Anyway, are attacked by several Kowakian monkey lizards and a large Kowakian ape lizard, which I didn't even realize existed, are the cousin of the smaller creatures. The two resistance pilots also rescue a Marilan crew member. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Marineland.
Maryland crew member named Sinara San, whom they bring back to the Colossus with the reluctant permission of Jaeger. Unknown to the others, Sinara is part of Cragen Gore's pirate gang and becomes their undercover operative on the Colossus. So now that I butchered that narration here, Kowakian monkey lizards, Kowakian ape lizards, which, wow.
I thought those were the most annoying. Like, I never understood how annoying they were until this episode. Oh my God, right. It was so annoying. And as soon as Kaz shoots, no, I think it was Poe, he shoots up at the ceiling and one of them falls. I was so happy because everybody else was like, oh, snap, he just shot one. But yeah, that it was a really interesting.
Yeah.
When they found out that that was the problem, I actually enjoyed the beginning of this episode when they saw that there was like a damaged ship. The first thing that came to mind, and I had seen some comments that reflected the same kind of sentiment. It felt a little bit like Dead Space, if you guys have ever watched or played it. I love that game. Or it was a little bit like Alien or The Expanse, where there's like a damaged ship, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into, but and there's that little bit of tension. But as soon as, again, you reach that top, the monkeys appear and all that hype that you've just built up just goes down the drain because you just threw a monkey at my face. And it's just like, no, you had something so good. I feel like Star Wars would do so well with a horror kind of theme. I think it would just be so cool to have like a Dead Space Star Wars. But I really enjoyed that this leads to Sinara and just who she is as a character, and I thought it was a fun episode. Ape lizard, it's okay. I really enjoyed how it ate those pirates. It was a lot of fun to just have this episode. I think it was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think this was one of the best ones that we've seen to this point. The introduction of Sinara was good. The mission overall, I thought, was really good too. And, you know, I think that it would do well to have some sort of a horror thriller thing for Star Wars. We had some novels in the EU/Legends that did really well and were really popular. People seem to like the Ewok mission on Battlefront 2. Where it's nighttime and the Ewoks are running around like little ninja monsters killing people. I think that there's some room for that. I think we might benefit from something like that.
And I mean, there have been episodes in Clone Wars, I think in particular Clone Wars, that were super scary. Yeah. And they just like,
and they were good
the hippie jibbies. Yeah, for sure. In particular, I think it was with, what are they called? Something Sisters.
The Night Sisters?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought those were, like, creepy. So, I think there's potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so.
So if we go back to, I want to mention or comment on, you said this felt like The Expanse at that one part where they saw the spaceship. Well, if you go back to the beginning of this episode where Kaz gets woken up way earlier than he normally does, he goes over to the coffee machine with his head down and he's pushing the button over and over and over again. That totally reminds me of James Holden on The Expanse when the coffee machine breaks down on the Rocinante.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're just waiting for him to smash the coffee machine.
Yeah, exactly.
And Pam does remind us of Naomi.
Oh, she sure does.
She has that Naomi vibe.
That's true.
So, shameless plug. Awesome, awesome TV show. Awesome book series.
No lightsabers, but...
Very, very awesome. And we have a podcast for it called The Tight Beam.
Yes.
On the Random Chatter Network, so... Seriously, though, I think a lot of Star Wars fans, if you've not checked out The Expanse, there is some thematic overlap, though the method of storytelling is very different. And I think that most Star Wars fans, I would say nearly all Star Wars fans I know who have started watching The Expanse or have started reading the books has really enjoyed it. So if you have not yet checked it out, I would recommend it.
Yes,
definitely.
We should have an episode where we look at Star Wars fans and crossing over into other franchises and discuss what it is about what we like about Star Wars that makes some of these other things appealing to us, whether it be The Expanse or Firefly, or there's always the Star Wars versus Star Trek thing, you know, because it's specifically relevant to Star Wars fans. I think we should maybe have a discussion about that sometime.
I would absolutely love to.
It's really interesting because we had, when we did the interview with, I don't remember exactly who it was, we asked them if they enjoyed like Star Trek or Star Wars. And they said it was Star Trek because
it was
Star
Francois,
Wars
wasn't
was,
it?
Was it Francois? I don't know if it was Francois who said that or if it was, the names are escaping me right now.
Because I think if not in our interview, I think I've seen another interview where somebody asked him a similar thing and he had pointed out that he was always more into Star Trek than Star Wars because it was more.
So maybe it was Francois when we interviewed him, but we did ask like what got him into science fiction. And that was one of the things, that Star Wars was just too magical and too
fantasy
pixie dust. Yeah. Whereas Star Trek and The Expanse were more scientific in origin.
And a little bit more sociological.
Yes.
In themes. I think Star Wars is more, I hate to say political because it's not so much politics as much as it is the fight of the underdog and the plight against oppression. Mm-hmm. But I think that Star Trek has been more about social issues and human rights issues in a different vein. So similar types of things, but they actually differ enough that some seem to resonate more with some people than the other.
Yes.
It's an interesting sort of thing that both the overlap and the dichotomy between Star Wars fans and Star Trek fans sometimes.
I'm a fan of both.
Yeah. Yes. Most people I know are, but then every now and then you run into someone who really connects with one and just, never got into the other.
I actually recently rewatched all of the Star Trek shows from the original series all the way up to the Next Generation and Enterprise.
Yeah.
So good.
Have never finished DS9.
Oh, but the ending was the best part.
I know, but it's one of those things I couldn't connect with the characters. I kept trying. I said, get through season 3. So I got through season 3 and I'm like, yes, it's a little better, but I still just don't care. Like, I think the only character that really connected for me was it the Cardassian? The Taylor. The guy who was the undercover...
The Cardassian, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but like, I liked him.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his name, but of course, put me on the spot and I can't remember.
Yeah, but like, Sisko, he was all right. And all of the other characters, Kira was okay. I don't know. I couldn't get into any of the other characters.
I just liked how there were so many different political parties that were in Deep Space Nine. So it was hard to like root for one over the other because they all had different opinions and none of them were wrong, but they were all wrong at the same time.
Yeah. I did appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from their point of view, they're right. But from other points of view, they may not be right. So it was an interesting take on Star Trek. I actually enjoyed it. But yeah, the it does get a lot better as the seasons progress.
Yeah.
But well, that's back, Star Trek.
Yeah, back to Resistance.
back to episode 7. One of the things I found really hard to like I was like, come on, guys. Okay, so they're flying a shuttle and they have an X-wing, they're flying, and they kind of open up, walk the plank, and you got to jump into the cockpit.
Yeah.
They train you for those things, Fred.
No. No, still not happening.
Scientifically, it would not work.
Well, scientifically, if they open that cockpit door mid-flight, that thing's gone.
That scene, I don't know. You have to let go of some of that because it's Star Wars. So
I would have been more okay with it if they landed the X-Wing on top of the shuttle and he crawled up a ladder to get in.
Yeah, like that would make much more sense to me.
So.
But then BB-8 wouldn't be able to push him.
Yeah, you know, pilots.
But I really did enjoy them bringing Sonara in. She's a reoccurring character for the next several episodes. Mm-hmm. I think she really brings a whole new light to the show. Of course, she's a second, let's call it a love interest for Kaz. He definitely has a thing for her and for Tora. So it's interesting for him to see that play out. I don't think it's going to go anywhere with either of them, but he can try.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Well. All
right. So do we want to continue with episode 8 and end it there? Or stop it now and leave the ones for later?
Let's talk about 9 a little bit. Here's my concern with talking about Resistance, and we probably should have had this discussion offline, but to give our listeners a little bit of behind-the-scenes sort of stuff, I fear that based on the discussions we've had in Discord, there are people we have in our community that watch Resistance, and there are some that have already ducked out. So I'm thinking maybe the more we cover in a fewer number of episodes for now, probably the better. Because I don't want people ducking out of the episodes too.
Right.
No, I gotcha.
So,
but at the same time, I kind of want them to listen, but you know, it's up to them. They might not. They might just see the title and skip it. I'd love for them to listen, maybe be inspired to continue through.
Yeah.
All right, so then let's push until episode 9. Okay, so episode 8 is Sonara's score. So in this one, Captain Doza hires Jaeger's team Fireball to repair the turbo laser system's tracking computer. The repairs are complicated by a rare missing military-grade computer chip. With the help of Sonara, who has found work as a scavenger, Cass and Tam manage to obtain the computer chip from a sunken starship. As a result, the two come to trust Sonara. In secret, Sonara informs Cragen Gore that Ace Squadron is away and the Colossus Turbo Laser's defense systems are down. During the pirate attack, Kaz and Jaeger fight with pirates while reinstalling the tracker computer. Meanwhile, Tam and BB-8 rush into the loading docks to rescue Sonara. Team Fireball manages to drive the pirates away, but the second raid leads Captain Doza to seek protection from the First Order.
Okay, now I'm caught up to this point, but I've not seen this one. So this is going to be more you guys.
I enjoyed this episode. It was really action-packed. You really didn't know how things were going to end up, and you get to learn a little bit more about Tam and just see a softer side to her. The fact that, like, she does respect Sonara, and although she doesn't know Sonara's intentions, she does see her as somebody, like a comrade, as a friend. And even though things are falling apart and the pirates are attacking, like, her first thoughts is Sonara is in the, like, in the crossfire. We need to go save her. And so that shows a lot of character on her part. And I think that that gives Sonara a little bit of a softer heart at the very end, because she does say, like, oh, you came here for me to save me. Like, who does that? So I thought that was very, very nice to see.
Yeah.
I think the two main takeaways from this episode is, one, this is the push that gives Captain Doza, this pirate attack is the push that gives Captain Doza the green light to bring in the First Order for protection, even though he's trying to limit it just until the pirate attacks are done. But obviously it's the First Order that has hired the pirates to attack. And the second thing that is the takeaway is, yeah, what Andrea just said there was the softening of Sonara's heart, where she is no longer a cold-hearted pirate. She actually says people are out to save me just because of our friendship, not because they were hired or because they have to. So I think that's going to play a role, and she's probably going to switch sides at some point in this series.
I can see that.
She's a cool character. I really enjoy her.
Yeah, I'm curious as to where they're going to take things with her in the future.
She does have, throughout the season, internal dilemmas. She doesn't know where she belongs. And that's a very important thing, because again, you fall into the, should we trust her? Should we not? She's still relaying information, but at the same time, at the very end, she tries to do good. And that's, I really like her as a character, because she's not one dimensional. She has a conscience, and she tries to do what's best for her and for her survival.
Right. So I want to ask you guys, because you guys are all caught up with all the episodes now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So from the people who have left, I've heard people asking, you know, does it get any better? Should I get back into it? I left because I just didn't care anymore. I'm not against the show, but does it, like, should I come back? I want to know what you think of the rest of the episodes you've seen so far. Obviously, we're going to go over them in detail later on, but is it getting better? Are the storylines developing into something that's more like what we would expect from Star Wars? What do you guys think? Give us some kind of an overview of where we're headed from what you've seen so far.
So there's 21 episodes that are announced for season one. There are 4 episodes to go as of today. So we've seen the first 17 episodes, and I would say the first 17 are slowly building. There's some core nuggets in the 17 episodes that are like, feels like Star Wars, looks really good, I get really excited about. And then there's some low points that are in there as well. I'm not going to gloss over those, but they're there. I'm really looking forward to the last 4 episodes. I hope they really pull it all together and really get me excited for season 2, or it's going to be a letdown.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reserve judgment until those next 4 are out, but I'm going to be hopeful that it's going to really pull it together.
The momentum is there. It's just taken a long time to get there. It's like the fireball. It's like, oh, it can fly, and then something goes wrong. And then, oh, it can fly, and then it goes wrong. And then, like, oh, it's flying a little bit more, but then something has to go wrong.
Of course.
So, yes, the couple last episodes seem to be a little bit more interesting. There's like that one moment with Poe that it's like, oh my God, it ties into The Force Awakens. And that was really exciting for me. Again, those tidbits of where we can see a connection to Star Wars, what we know, is very important to me because I need to be able to tie it in back to Star Wars. If I do not see a Star Wars reference, it's really difficult. And we were talking about, okay, so aside from stormtroopers and BB-8 and sometimes the ships, like, what, how is this Star Wars?
Right.
And that's an important thing for us to always question. So it's always really nice to hear about Kylo, Phasma, stormtroopers, Pony didn't go to Jakku. So that's very important to me. So again, it's picking up the momentum, not as fast as I would want it to. Hopefully it's not a letdown because there are some good episodes, but I feel like there are a lot more episodes that are like, what's the point? And that makes me sad. But you should still watch it. Still watchable, especially the last couple of episodes. I was like more invested in them than at the very beginning.
Do you feel season two is going to move things along faster than season one did? Like, are you more optimistic for season two based on how things wrapped up?
I think season two needs to get off the Colossus, and Colossus should just be like a kind of like, gather around people, this is what's going to happen, and then go on a mission and then go back, gather around, this is where we relay the information, and then you take a lot of the characters on those missions outside of the Colossus. I don't think there is enough to keep the characters in the Colossus for such a long period of time. I think they need to go out and explore and do this and that, because I feel like they're so limited in just the Colossus. There's only so much you can find out in that spaceport.
Yeah.
Kaz is a spy on a gas station, not on the Death Star, not on the Resistance base, not on a Resistance... or sorry, First Order cruiser or destroyer or Star Destroyer or whatever flavor of the week you want to call it. So the show is really limited in what knowledge they're going to capture.
Right.
Yeah.
So
unless by the end of season one, the First Order has completely 100% grabbed the Colossus. Then he can get intel. But again, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the good side of that not knowing is that means there's some place for the show to go. There are blanks to fill in yet. And we should consider that a good thing, I guess. Like if we do the whole glass half full versus half empty thing, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic here. I'm hopeful. Like you said earlier, Fred, I'm hopeful for the show. I'm not abandoning it. Not excited about it, but I'm guardedly hopeful.
I'm a completionist. I'll stick with it till the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So episode 9. The Platform Classic. In an attempt to boost the Colossus's economy, Captain Doza invites Jaeger's estranged younger brother and renowned racer Marcus Speedstar to the Platform Classic. Still bitter at Speedstar for causing the deaths of his wife and daughter during a racing accident 10 years ago, Jaeger refuses to speak with Speedstar. Despite the high life, Speedstar struggles with paying his debts to the Guavian Death Gang, who kidnapped his mechanic, Oplok. Jaeger's attempt to force Speedstar to pull out of the race backfires, and Jaeger is compelled to participate in the Platform Classic. At the urging of both Speedstar and Kaz, Jaeger decides to forgive his younger brother and allowed Speedstar to win the race. After paying Speedstar's debts to the Guavians and freeing Oplok, the two brothers reconcile before parting ways.
It was a shocking episode. I enjoyed getting to know Yeager a little bit better because that's one of the characters that was really interesting. He just had a, like, he was so cold and just there was something about him that nobody knew about. And then we got that picture of his family and we're like, oh, why is he in the Colossus? Where is his family? So to find out that his brother was the cause of his wife and his, is it daughter or son? Yeah, daughter. To have gotten killed. Like, I thought that was a really interesting, but again, this is another kind of roller coaster being lackluster kind of moment where we get to that moment where he's like, I am sorry I got them killed. You're like, oh my God. And then it doesn't develop as good as I would want it to. And at the end, it's kind of like, this is such a huge and tragic accident. And we're just going to leave it at that, that it's okay. Let's just shake it off. And although I'm not going to forgive you all the way, we can still be in talking terms. I don't know. I thought that by the end of it, I was like, really? That's it? Like, that's as much as you're going to give this character. So I don't know. It started off really interesting, but at the end, I thought that they could have done it a little bit better.
Mm. I completely agree. So basically what happened, I don't know if that was clear enough, but Marcus Speedstar wants to win a race. He cheats and ends up killing. There's an accident and it kills a bunch of people in the crowd, specifically his wife and daughter. So Jaeger's never able to forgive him because why would he cheat? Why would he go to that extreme just to win some money? But I guess he was after the fame and fortune and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and Andrew's absolutely nailed it. Like, at the end of the episode, they had such a good story point to talk about this entire episode, and they just kind of shake it off at the end like it's nothing.
Hmm. Okay. Do you feel like this episode did very much to advance the character of Jaeger, or was it like, I know the episode focused on Jaeger and you get backstory on him, but did it matter? Does it do anything to make Jaeger feel like a deeper character to you?
No, not really. Okay. Mm. So he's forgiven his brother. Okay. So that's something. I think seeing the picture, so there was a picture of him and his wife and his daughter, so it was the family. But you also saw a picture of Jaeger in the Resistance. I think that picture almost gives more character depth than the story of his family and how they passed. To see them die from an accident is sad, but...
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I'm not cutting that out though, Andrea. So
it's now fine. I'm having so many issues because of the sandstorm. So I'm just gonna continue talking, and if Eric needs to delete something, then he can.
No, we're leaving things in.
I think that you can read it as the reason why he's so closed off, and although he has this quote-unquote family with the Team Fireball, where it's Niku, Tam, Kaz, Bucket, he doesn't want to get close to them because he has felt that loss. He has felt the loss of family, and right, that's why he's just like, this is strictly business. You guys work for me. That's it. We're done. So it's really interesting to see that dynamic, and I like that psychological aspect of it. So that's the way that I'm interpreting it, and that's as far as it goes. Yes, he's worked with Tam and Niku and Bucket for a long time, and he just can't get past that you guys work for me kind of attitude.
Okay.
But they are family, though. I don't know if I see Jaeger treating them more as family. I don't know if it's because of longevity of the relationship or if it's something more than that. But Jaeger treats them as family and lets them get away with things. He actually lets Kaz get away with a lot more than Tam and anyone else.
Because he's a spy.
Because he's a spy. But yeah, seeing... I can see where you're coming from, and I can see where that can be used as a character point. And maybe I was a little too hard to that. I can see where you're going, and I appreciate that. But okay. I think overall, it doesn't really add that much to the story.
No.
I learned more about his brother, obviously, than I did. Because his brother...
who probably we won't see very much ever again, I imagine.
Yeah, that's... I have a feeling they'll bring him back in like 10 episodes as some kind of savior in some way. And
your family survived the rubble of the race.
Him and his brother, instead of handshaking, will have a hug. Here we go.
No.
From an interesting, like, it was a good episode to watch. I did enjoy the race. I did enjoy seeing the Guavian Death Gang. It was a suspenseful episode, so I really enjoyed that. I like seeing Jaeger give in to his brother through the race to let his brother win so he can take the prize pool. I probably would have won the race and just paid my brother's debt with it and then kept the rest. But hey, that's just
there me. You go, because then you win and he wins. And
yeah,
but they expected him to win.
Why didn't they think of that? Like, that seems like, I didn't even think of that, but like, why? That would have been a perfect solution.
I think they wanted him to win.
See, then Jaeger wouldn't have to be so grumpy all the time. He could help Kaz. They would win the war. I mean, here I am going on a pitch again, but like, problem solved, right?
So Jaeger's in the lead right up to the last checkpoint. They're about to cross the goal line and Jaeger just veers off course. So at this point, now he's got all these bookies after him because he threw the race.
Hmm. Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very interesting. Very interesting. But yeah, it was a fun race. I really want you to watch it. Just check out how they play out the race itself. There's a whole section where they go through one ring. It does an EMP pulse that turns off all the engines, and they have to free fall back to Earth from high atmo. And then if they miss the ring on the way back in, their engines won't restart and they crash into the ocean.
It's really good.
So I thought it was quite good.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. I feel like these episodes where we get character focuses like this, it's good. It's beneficial to have that sort of backstory for the characters, but I think it needs to be interspersed with more story development. And I kind of feel like, to be fair, I think episodes 8 and 9, like, that's how you intersperse that. 8, we had some actual story development, at least with, you know, Sonara and that sort of thing. And then episode 9, we take a break and do like a character focus episode. That's good. Like, I wish we'd gotten a little bit more of that earlier on, but we're getting to that now, and I appreciate that. So I'm hoping that that's kind of how they continue to pattern things moving forward. So, all right. Well, anything else about these episodes before we move on? I think we lost Andrea.
I think I've said everything that I want to say about Resistance.
Okay. Andrea, if she has anything else to say, we're never going to know.
Drifting in space.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, I think she's drunk.
A little bit. Yeah, probably. Okay. Well, I guess we should move along. Is there a pitch for this week?
Well, there was.
There was? Past tense?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Damn it.
Oh, Andrea gets to give it. Okay, so it's going to be... So, someone finds a lightsaber at... That'll make it really easy for me. I like that.
Fill in the blanks. No. I actually had to fold my laptop a little bit. My laptop is dying, Eric. Like,
yeah,
it's sad.
I'm sorry.
We're gonna need a proper
funeral
for it. Yeah. Okay. So in this one, it's going to be pretty easy. I think you alluded to it a little bit when you were talking. So if based on the episodes that you've already watched and what you've listened to us talk about up until episode 9, what would be some things that you would change to make it either more adult friendly, but keeping it kid friendly? Like, what would be some things that would make it more much better for the audience?
Okay. So if I may, I'd like to present this more as a direct answer to your question as opposed to a pitch, because I mean, this can't really be wrapped up in like a single movie synopsis, because we're talking multiple episodes of an ongoing series.
Yes.
Right. So I think that, first of all, I think that would make it more interesting to, so when we say to adults, or I'll use the term grown-ups to make it to differentiate between, sometimes saying adult has a more R-rated connotation to it.
So, no, we don't want that.
Right, right. We're not going in that direction, but I don't want any of the listeners to be confused about what we're saying here. So in order to make it more appealing to grown-ups, I would say, first of all, I think Kaz needs to, we need to see more focus on Kaz as a spy, as trying to actively collect intel, and then maybe trying to sneak that intel out and having that be more of a source of conflict. I get that we need to have character moments with Kaz, but the whole him growing up thing, I mean, if he was a resistance pilot and now they're trusting him as a spy, I kind of expect that there's already a certain level of growing up that he's already had to do. So I already assume that he's going to try to make the right decision. I don't need to see episode after episode of him, well, you know, I could get rich or I could save these kids from dying. Like, we should already kind of know where he's going to fall in that. So I'd like to see more of him actually working on this mission of his, number one. Number two, I think that it's easier for kids to focus on a particular character and have that character be their avatar. I think that with adults, we want to see more about interactions and relationship mm-hmm. dynamics.
Right.
And so I think that maybe having Kaz confide in a couple of people about his mission. So there's the whodunit side of things. So aside from him as a spy, like figuring out who he can trust and who he can't, because for adults, trust is a big deal in our day-to-day lives. Who do we trust? You know, whether you're trying to decide whether you're going to trust a potential partner or whether you trust business relationships, every day trust is something that we have to deal with. So the whole dynamic of, is this person working for the First Order or are they sympathetic to the resistance? Can I trust them? I think that dynamic is important. And once he establishes who he can trust, I think bringing them into what's going on a little bit would help us expand that and make it more of an ensemble storyline like what we had in Rebels and Clone Wars, rather than really just being about Kaz. Mm-hmm. It's got to be about more than just one character. And right now, I think that's been a way that the show has not really succeeded. It has been primarily about Kaz with some tangents for Jaeger. So I think those are probably the biggest 2 points. And then the other thing that we're not really seeing, again, I think primarily because it's a kid's show and I think kids would be less tolerant of this, is we're not seeing anything from the villain's point of view. If you look at the Star Wars movies, even if you look at Clone Wars, we saw a lot more with Count Dooku's interactions with Sidious and General Grievous and things like that. Saw it a little bit in Rebels with Grand Admiral Thrawn and some of the other Imperials, and we're not really seeing it hardly at all mm-hmm. in Resistance. So we have a very isolated view of what's going on. We don't really have that omniscient audience view. We're really getting more of a point of view. We're getting things from Kaz's point of view, and we're not seeing much outside of that. So we don't know what's going on with the First Order. We don't know what's going on with Phasma. I think getting to see a little bit about whatever the threat is, seeing the threat build. Because right now we don't have an overarching threat to this show, other than, you know, the general, oh, there's a First Order and they're bad. That just kind of looms in general, like what we knew last year before the series started, right? We know that there is a First Order and that they are bad. But we don't know what's going on to build a conflict specific for this show. And so instead we get little bits of conflict week to week, but we don't have anything looming. There's nothing looming behind the scenes. And I think we need that in order to build a sense of overall tension that's been lacking. So
no, I completely agree with that.
So those would be, so rather than just count the things that aren't working, in the interest of finding solutions for things, I think solution would be have Kaz more actively explore who he can trust and who he can't. Have him focus more on the spy side of things and getting intel to the resistance. Have Kaz bring some people into his inner circle and make an actual inner circle. And then show us a little bit more about what's going on from the villain's point of view. I think those four things are things they could actively do, like actual steps to be taken that would make this more interesting to grownups.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, sounds good.
You know, in the interest
of
not
agree with that.
Just complaining, but trying to find solutions too, like being constructive about it. Oh, those, for sure. Those would be, I think, good steps. But we would love to hear what other people's suggestions would be. But I'm going to flip this around on you guys. What do you guys think? Is there anything else that you would add to that?
Go ahead.
No, Andrea, you should go while we have you on the call in case we lose you.
I do agree that having, I want to say, quote unquote, the bad guy's perspective in quotes, because not everybody that's in the bad side is bad, as we see in Rebels, but that's a side of anything. It's good to have that perspective. We do get it a little bit, in the episodes that are to come for you, Eric, that we do see the hidden intentions. So that's a little bit of an exciting part of it, but I do agree that I wish there would be a lot more of, okay, what is Phasma doing? How is she doing? What is she doing? Is she doing her nails? Is she plotting something else? It would be good to see that. I would like to see Kaz mature a little bit and fit into his role as the person who said who would be willing to do anything for the resistance. And just to have a lot more character development, because that's the most important thing for us to gravitate towards the characters that were given on the screen.
Yeah. All right, Fred.
What I think, spy, I think James Bond. So I would like to see a lot more of kind of the parallels that are between the Bond series and here, like the gadgets, checking in with your handler every episode. So a lot more of the spy side of things. We only see a little bit of that, a little bit every couple episodes. So if they were to pull in a lot more of that more frequently, I think that would really entrench us into it's actually about being a spy and not about being a gas station.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest thing that I'd like to see.
Okay. All right. Well, we would like to hear what you, the listener, would like to see about Resistance. We've talked before about the fact that we don't hate the show. We want the show to succeed. We support the show, even if we're not excited about it yet. We thought we would be excited about it by now. I know I am not yet there, but I hope to be. And Fred and Andrea, from what you have said so far, it sounds like it does continue moving in the right direction. And so that's hopeful. That's good. It's getting toward that. So I don't want to make it sound like we're bashing anything, but we would like to hear if you have constructive things, not just complaints about the show, but ways in which you think something could be added or changed that would be an improvement, just kind of as a thought exercise, we would be curious to hear about it. We would like to know what you think. So you can send those to outerrim@randomchatter.com. You can also tweet those to us. You can mention us at Force Chatter. You can also mention us directly. I'm on Twitter at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E, though I'm not really active there. Fred, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Freddy Wan Kenobi. That's F-R-E-D-D-Y-W-O-N Kenobi. Or the best place to probably find Eric and I both, since we're not active, is within Discord.
Absolutely. All right, Andrea.
And you can find me. Yay, yes. I got connected again.
Perfect timing.
You can find me on Twitter at Katzbears. That's K-A-T-Z-B-E-A-R-Z. And I'm also on Discord, wreaking havoc on both Fred, Eric, and everybody else. So if you guys enjoy that, then that's the place to be.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to the network social media coordinator, Mike, and I think we're going to throw the Force Chatter Twitter account into Andrea's lap. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
With great power comes
perfect
great
for whom, Fred? Perfect for Andrea or perfect for all of the victims online? That's the question.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Melting pot.
But if you're not already following Force Chatter on Twitter, be sure to do so. I'm sure it's going to become much more active now that Andrea is taking over. Taking over, I use that term loosely, but we'll see. And of course, you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got a lot of great stuff there. We mentioned the Tight Beam, and the Expanse is going to be coming back soon. Not soon enough, but soon. So if you have fallen behind or have not yet watched the show at all, now's a great time to catch up. So we do have a podcast for that. Andrea, Lou, and I and Shannon started it out, and I left the show due to work schedules, but I think Fred has now joined and taken my seat. Is that correct?
Episode 22 was just posted yesterday.
Excellent. Excellent. So I highly recommend you check it out. It's a great podcast. Andrea and Shannon have actually met with people from the show and have gotten to tour the set, and we've got interviews, and it's some good stuff. So check out the Tight Beam. We would love if you would help support the network overall, but also this show specifically too. Leave us reviews wherever you get this podcast. Share us out on social media. Tell your friends about the show. We would love any sort of word of mouth that you can help us get out there to let people know about the Outer Rim. And by the way, I love Fantasy Flight Games. I love FFG a lot. We've always actively supported them, both here and on the Forcecast Network. And we'll continue to do so, despite them releasing a new tabletop game called The Outer Rim. Which I'm sure is really good.
What is the naming rights? 20% of every sale?
I think so. Yeah, we're going to have to... I'll have to get with Steve and discuss that. Well, that's not really Steve's department, but he could point us to the right person to have laugh at us, have negotiate with us. Yeah.
At what percentage of zero we'll get?
Right. we'll give you that five times over again. Yeah. So awesome. Anyway, yeah, there is an Outer Rim board game that I think is coming soon. I don't know if it's been released. I think it's up for pre-order. It actually looks really good. And I will say legitimately FFG stuff is solid. And it's not just because it's Star Wars. Their game mechanics are good. They play test the heck out of their stuff. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's all kind of smuggler, bounty hunter based, this particular game. It looks really good. So anyway, I digress. We would love it if you would come hang out with us on Discord. Fred was just talking about the fact that that's the easiest way to reach him and I. And I know I don't get a lot of time for social media anymore, but I spend a lot of time in Discord because it's a family there. The signal to noise ratio, it's really high with signal and not so much with noise, which is nice. There's a lot of good conversations there with actual people that you get to know. And there are personalities that you become familiar with, and you have conversations about all kinds of great stuff. There are channels for each of the shows on the network. Those are all free. And the app is free. There's a link you can get to join the server. Just go to randomchatter.com/discord. You don't need a special invite code or anything like that. You go to that link and it will bring you into the server and you can immediately start chatting with all of us. We would love to see you there. For those people who decide to help support the network, no matter how much you donate through Patreon, even if it's just $1 a month, we decided to try to give something back. So we've created additional channels in Discord, a lot of additional channels, in fact. And we've got a Star Wars category of channels. We've got a separate category for spoilers for various movies and TV shows and stuff. So after you've seen something, if you want to talk about it but not ruin it for other people, you can go to these channels and discuss it. I know the Umbrella Academy just came out on Netflix and some people were interested in talking about that. I'm on the last episode right now and I think it's really good. So I'm looking forward to jumping into that channel and getting to talk about it a little bit. We've got lots of other great channels there too that have nothing to do about Star Wars, but just kind of life in general. So if you're interested in helping support the network, like I said, even if it's just a dollar, that's what most of our donors donate. We have given something back to you that hopefully will be of great value. And we hope that you join us and partake in that. And that's it. The music you hear in this podcast is the Cantina Band Finale by DJ Elliot, whom I'm very upset I'm not going to get to go meet again when Celebration Chicago happens. But Fred, Andrea,
I will meet him on your behalf.
Please do. Please do. And please tell him I said hi.
So much crap about you. I'm just kidding.
Hey,
don't fire me.
I don't know if he remembers me or not. Probably not. And I don't know if he remembers the tweets I've posted. But I tell you what, being able to drop one of his 2 to 3 hour long mixes into my iPhone while I'm driving on a car trip or something like that. One of the things he's done for the 501st bash from Celebration in 2015, or the SMS audio bash that he did, or, you know, New York Comic Con, or various different things that he's done. I just listened to 2.5 hours of nonstop mashups of all kinds of stuff. He does some really good stuff. So if you haven't checked it out, look for him on SoundCloud. It's Elliot with 1 T. And then you, Fred and Andrea, have to make sure that you point out to him that we plug him on every episode that we do, because I don't know, brownie points with him isn't going to do anything for me, but but because he's a really good guy and he deserves to know that people are supporting
get you a good handshake.
Yeah. That's it. And as silly as it sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. So Lucasfilm, please don't sue us. Disney, please don't sue us. And to everybody else, take care. We will see you next week.
May the force be with you. It's a trap!